Today's program is brought to you by Q Drinks, carbonated mixers made for your cocktail. Visit their website at qdrinks.com. That's Q, the letter, drinks.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some.
All right, welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Souther, welcome back to town, you fucking asshole.
we can say fuck.
You can swear all you want.
Fuck on the radio.
Yeah, just got back yesterday to some pretty crazy news. The weather, obviously, much different. I was in St. Martin for a week, 82 degrees every day, 81 degree water, beautiful, perfect.
Yeah.
And landed and found out that I won the USBG election. I am now your president, USBG New York City chapter.
Really? Congratulations, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's me. James Manite stayed on as vice president. We got Katie Wallace on as our secretary, and Don Heidemann is our treasurer.
Good.
So it's
cool, a good man. Bunch.
Pretty, congratulations.
Pretty full flip.
What a crazy trip.
Yeah, insane. I had a great time.
Long, strange trip.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
So what was like... damn, that's crazy. What were some of the highlights from your trip, man?
Relaxation, sitting. You know, people asked me what I was going to do when I was there, and I over and over said I'm going to sit. because I feel like, you know, in our line of work, all I do is stand then I lie down and go to bed. It's rare to be sitting.
Yeah.
So I sat in a lot of different chairs.
Tried them out.
I finally got a time to just sit down and read a book. I finally read Robert's book from cover to cover, Proper Drink by Robert O'Sullivan.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Was on the show. You still didn't leave work, really?
Well, that was just a little, it's, you know, pretty light reading. It's a little history.
Yeah.
You know, I crossed over a bunch of names that I knew. Damon's in there a few times. I'm not in there. I don't give a shit. And I just sat on the beach. Only one day did we not sit on the beach all day. And that day we chartered a boat and went out into the water. But every other day we would get up with the sun, go to bed with the sun, basically.
That's amazing, man.
It was so. It's the first vacation I've ever taken where I just switched off and relaxed.
Nice.
I didn't really do anything.
Nice.
Cool, man.
It was great.
Well, welcome back.
I'm happy to be back. And here we got in the studio with us today. Young upstart bartender, new to the field, Tom Richter.
Hi, everybody.
Who works currently at both Dear Irving and Attaboy, and also is the maker and manufacturer of Tom Mars Tonic.
Yep.
Yeah, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Good to be here, guys.
Yeah, great to have you. I'm glad that you're wearing such a crazy fucking shirt.
I know. I told him it's radio.
I dress for radio.
That's amazing. Yeah, man. How you been?
I've been great. Good. Things are good.
Good, man. Some of my fondest memories of Tom are obviously seeing you at Dear Irving, but going to your house on the 4th of July. Yeah. What was that, the 4th of July?
4th of July, yeah. I usually have a big barbecue for the bar community, and people get on the train and come to Jersey, and we tear it up.
Yeah, really intense cornhole tournament.
Ooh. I made that set, by the way.
You did?
Yeah,
oh, cool.
Totally.
Yeah, he's crafty. I give him 1¾ thumbs up.
I'm very crafty.
Do you want to talk about that on the air?
Yeah, I was making muddlers. A neighbor had this beautiful old cherry tree that had died, and I helped them cut it down with my chainsaw. And I cut it up, and he wanted it gotten rid of. So I said, well, can I have the wood? So I took it. We took it to my yard, and I was cutting up. I would cut up pieces of wood into manageable size pieces and then finish them on my table saw.
Yeah. I still have one of the muddlers. They're beautiful.
They're beautiful, yeah.
I kind of want one.
And
I don't do a lot of muddling, though.
Cherry is so beautiful because it is very burly and full of knots. Well, that knot tossed the piece out of my hand, and I just bumped the blade, and
my
left thumb was gone to just below my thumbnail, and my left index finger was cut from the knuckle through the tip of the nail. So when I looked at my hand, I was looking at the back of my thumbnail from the other side. Sure. And I thought, whoa, that's not going to be good.
Jeez.
So, yeah, that was like 10, 11 weeks ago. This is not such a bad heal up at this point.
Recently?
Oh yeah. My God. September 10th. Yeah, it was September 10th.
Holy shit, man. I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I was out of work for 10 weeks. But
that's how Johnny Cash's brother died.
Losing his thumb?
No, a table saw accident. It's funny because Heather's wearing a Johnny Cash shirt.
Holy shit.
Creepy.
Yeah. Ten weeks you missed work.
10 weeks.
Which has got to be mind-numbing. I was gone for 8 days, and granted, it was kind of the best 8 days ever, but I needed to be back. Yeah, time to be back.
It was rough. But, you know, like a couple of consulting jobs popped up, so I was able to do a little stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I just saw you in, I think, the timeout right before I left. You were mentioned in there for a place that you did some consulting. What's the name of that place?
Yeah, Chow Chow.
What's that all about?
Vietnamese restaurant. Really, like, home-style Vietnamese, but so that's, like, these great, authentic recipes, but then tweaked by this awesome chef, and it's an all beer and wine licensed place. Mm. So I did their cocktail program, and working with low ABV is kind of challenging, but it was really rewarding as well because, you know, when you have to have some kind of obstacle to go over and you go over it, it's like, wow, that was actually a pretty cool drink. Yeah. And it's hard to imagine that it's really a low ABV drink, you know. So, yeah, it was great. It's great. It's Avenue A between 10th and 11th, literally across the street from my old Hang the Beagle. It's called Chow Chow. So cool. Check it out.
It's on A?
Yeah.
So it's like a few blocks from me.
Yeah. Oh, you got to check it out. It's good. The Negroni is outstanding. And I didn't use any high ABV in it. It's great. I'm really happy with that one.
I'll literally go right past there on the way to work today.
Yeah, cool.
I'll poke my nose in, say hello.
Yeah.
So I made fun of you a little bit at the beginning there that you're new to the world of bartending. That's untrue, right? You've been doing it for more than a month.
Yeah, 32 years.
32 years. Wow. We were talking off air before we got in here that possibly you're the... I want someone to fact check out there.
Yeah.
You're possibly the oldest behind-the-bar cocktail bartender in New York City.
I would say so. I just turned 55 on Thanksgiving, so.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Yeah. Day after me.
Yeah. You turned 55 then?
No, well, I'm 47. That's awesome. So let's talk about that. Like, you're from Minnesota?
Yes.
So that's where it all began.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the beginning.
I grew up on a farm in Minnesota. My father was a chiropractor.
Seemed like a farm guy.
Yeah. And so he was a chiropractor, so I was raised with all that, you know, kind of that whole I was eating organic before it was a thing. We had our own garden. We raised animals to eat as well. And, you know, so we were just doing that because that was how it was done. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because I feel like all of those qualities of my life have now kind of culminated in what I do behind the bar as well. It's like you figure out if there's something that you need that's not there, you figure out how to make it. Mm-hmm. And that's how my tonic came about as well.
Yeah.
You know.
How long has the tonic been around at this point?
I made it 9, almost 10 years ago. And then people kept, I did it for a bar that I put together in New Jersey. The gin tonic to me at that point was the most ordered cocktail. And I just wanted a better tonic, and there wasn't one out there. And one of the new ones just hit the market, and I called the guy on the phone, and he's like, yeah, I just started the company. I can't keep it on the shelves. It's been six weeks. And I'm like, whatever, can I have a sample? So he sent me a sample, and my wife and I tried it, and it was like, meh.
Right.
It was more the same. It was all, you know, natural ingredients, but it was still a thing. So I looked up online different tonic recipes, and I kind of searched out what the history of tonic was and where it came from and what it was like when it was first discovered in Peru and all that stuff. So I got a few recipes. They all kind of sucked, but I kind of merged them. Like this quality from this recipe or this quality from that recipe I really liked. So I put them together, a couple tweaks, took really good notes, and the recipe hasn't changed since that final this is it kind of thing. And then that was 7.5 years ago now. People said, you should bottle this. I'm like, fuck you. That's a lot of work. And 2 years later, I incorporated and started bottling.
And
my first delivery was at Freeman's Alley, and it just mushroom clouded from there.
Amazing. You're still doing it all yourself?
I am currently using a co-packer, but I am in the process of setting up my own manufacturing plant that doesn't exist. So it's got to be needed. And I've had many bar folk come to me saying, you know, I'm making this syrup, I'm making this other thing, can you help me get it off the ground? I'm like, yeah, I will be able to, because I'm making the thing that doesn't exist to get it from your kitchen into production, because you usually go from your kitchen to 4,000 cases, and you can't do that financially. You end up having to sell half of your company to some investor. This way, you can keep your company and grow it slower.
So you're going to basically create like an incubator?
I'm going to have an incubating system that feeds into a small bottling line, because the smallest bottling line is still huge.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be a dual system. It's going to be an incubator and then into a small bottling line. And then we set them free when they're bigger than that.
Awesome. How far away is this sort of plan?
I'm sure that's probably going to happen, believe it or not, in this next year. Yeah.
Are you seeking investments for this, or?
We can talk about this off the
air. Yeah, I am. I mean, it's like we're working it out. I'm working with Rutgers University right now in New Jersey. They're helping me streamline all of this stuff so that I'll be able to just go pick it up and just put it into a plant somewhere really close to New York City. The Rutgers plant is 2.5 hours south, like almost on the south coast of New Jersey. Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
That's amazing.
I think it's going to be a good thing.
Oh, glad you brought that up. I didn't know that was happening at all.
Yeah.
Like, I still picture you, like, slaving over a pot and pouring the bottles yourself.
No. I still do that just for the fun of it. I mean, every once in a while, I'll make my own batch just to test it and make sure that everything is staying consistent.
Sure.
So it has to be where I want it.
Quality control.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Where can the listeners buy this stuff currently? Is it all over the country?
It is everywhere in the country. We're also in Europe and Australia and Canada Hong Kong and Singapore. And hopefully we'll keep growing in the United States or even South America. PremierMixers.com is my best online sales guys. I also... am at all the Whole Foods in New York City, at Stinky Brooklyn. there's a lot. My distributor.
That's great.
My New York distributor takes care of all that stuff, so I'm not really most knowledgeable as everywhere that it is. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a website of your own?
TomRustonic.com.
That's T-O-M-R.
T-O-M-R-S, yeah.
Yes, Tomers.
Yeah, and Tomer was a nickname my dad had given me when I was a kid. And my last name starts with an R, so it kind of made sense. When I was trying to do this, you don't patent a recipe, because then it becomes public. So you trademark a name and you keep the recipe secret. Yeah. And so when I was trying to do this, it was Tom's Tonic before, and there's Tom's of Maine, there's Tom's Shoes, there's some Tom's Tomato Sauce, whatever. So I couldn't do that, so I just went to Tomer's Tonic.
Beautiful. And you're going to make us a drink?
Of course. We'll take you through the whole fun little tasting of it all. So it's a syrup, so it needs to be cut with seltzer, too. So,
what do you have a ratio that you recommend? Go ahead.
One, two, three.
We're going to make that one, too, for Dave or for Jason or somebody.
One part tonic, two parts gin, three parts soda. And what I like to do to really kind of make you – the most impressive way to do it is show you the progression. So I'm taking the tonic, and I'm just cutting it with the seltzer right now. And we're going to taste that as is, and then we'll put the gin in, and so you can see how it evolves and comes together with the gin.
Red.
It's pretty impressive how you're keeping the perfect distance to the microphone while you're making these drinks.
I'll tell you, I had a life in that business, too. That's what brought me to New York.
That's right. You were an actor.
Being in a sound booth, I've done a lot of voiceovers and a lot of... that stuff. So, yeah.
How long does it take to make this stuff?
It's a boiling process. So it's basically I'm making tea by making this. So I boil it for about an hour and then let it cool down and then bottle it.
That's it.
Strain it and bottle it. Yeah.
Wham bam.
Yeah.
It's really delightful.
And then you add a little gin to it. And that's where the magic happens. Because it completely changes, and now the gin brings all the flavors together, bumps the bitterness.
Sure, really becomes
so. Now it really tastes like a gin tonic.
Citrus notes come forward.
Yeah, Yeah.
We don't have any citrus in the studio, so there's no... This is just your syrup, some seltzer, and gin.
Yep.
And not even any ice.
No.
It's quite delicious.
Yes, it is. You are correct, sir.
I remember you coming to try and sell me this stuff when I was at Rye in Williamsburg. We thought you were crazy.
Right. You know what? You guys...
We thought you were crazy.
Oh, yeah. You were at Rye. That's right, man.
Who is this dude?
Yeah, that was before. That was in the early days, and I didn't even have labels on the bottle at that time.
Yep. It was in a tall, slender bottle, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, a wine bottle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's still how it goes to bars and restaurants, a 750 milliliter.
Nice.
At that point, I had gotten it into Walter Foods.
Yeah.
For a minute. I think they did it for an event, but... Yeah, that was Rye. I loved Rye. That's a great place.
It's awesome. Beautiful.
Yeah, man. One of the coolest things about this is that it comes across visually as like a natural product. Like a, you know,
because it's not clear. It's
right.
What is this? Brown? Gold?
Amber. I think amber. A beautiful amber color.
Amber, yeah. That sounds good.
Colorblind rumor. Doesn't matter. It's delicious.
And that was one of the first things that I ever noticed about it. I mean, obviously, like with cocktails and drinks, it's visual first and food, it's olfactory first.
Yeah.
But I thought it was so cool that it wasn't clear.
Well, it's getting to the point now when people order gin and tonics. It's like, wait a minute, why isn't it brown? I want a good one.
Right, yeah. Good. You sort of set people marching down that street. I mean, I think it's just, you know, when you look at something that's clear, that's, you know, a larger commercial product, they're using, like, basically extracts, right? But you're using the
actual... Yeah, the tree bark, the cinchona tree is the main producer of quinine. Quinine's in a lot of things. There's a bitter melon, grapefruit rind, there's an American plant that is American. It's wild American feverfew, which is pretty high quinine content. I'm going to play around with that to try to do an all-American one. But they send the bark to pharmaceutical extraction places, and they pull the straight quinine out of it, which is this white powder, bitter, and then they sell that back to, like, Canada Dry or Schweppes. Those companies add high fructose corn syrup and water and carbonate it, and that's what we grew up on as tonic, which... Most people, when they try this, they're like, I thought I hated gin, but I guess I just hated tonic. Exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, because you drink gin tonics with that crappy tonic,
right.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, it's not doing any favors for anybody.
No.
I always say that gin and tonic should never be just gin and tonic.
Right.
And especially with, you know, like the Spanish style, like Basque style. Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking culture over there.
It like, is.
Their whole thing... Is gin tonic. They don't even say and. It's gin tonic.
Yeah.
And when I was there last year, it changed my whole outlook on what a gin tonic is. The simplest gin tonic over there at least gets, like, first of all, an ass load of tonic, right? It's still a dose of gin, about 2 ounces, but it's in a giant goblet, so it's got a lot of tonic, so it's really bright and refreshing. And then, the simplest one gets at least juniper berries thrown in. You know,
yeah.
Then they go chamomile a lot.
They go crazy.
Yeah,
I went to a place called Gin Tonneria. They had 130 gins, 130 gin tonics. They had crafted a gin tonic for every gin, using different tonics, using different garnishes, using different tinctures and bitters. Wow. It was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that, you know, like here. On the flip side of that, it's like I typically, when someone asks for a gin and tonic, not that I'm trying to, like,
I feel bad for them.
Well, no, I price it out accordingly to where, like, I you know, I do it like an ounce and a half rather than a full 2 ounce pour. So I have more tonic in the glass.
Yeah.
You know, I prefer to, like, at least muddle a couple of limes in the glass for them.
Sure.
So you get the oils and the juice and, like, the pulp in there. But yeah, I mean, like, I guess the classic ratio is like 1 to 7, right? Like one part gin and 7 parts tonic.
I guess.
Which is, it sounds like a tonic, and it is. It's tonic heavy, but like it's supposed to be a refreshing drink.
Yeah.
And so when someone like sends, you know, back when I worked in like kind of divey bars, when someone would like order gin and tonic, and they're like, make it strong, bro. You know, it's like, you know, that's not really. Mm-hmm. Is that really what you want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Strong Island, bro.
Which is also why, I mean, I made this for me. I made it a syrup so that you could alter
Yeah. You're in control of how bitter you want it.
Exactly. Because so many times, like, I would be bartending and people are like, I want a gin tonic, but make it half soda. It's like, why would you do that? But now you can
regulate it. You're in control. Yeah. Exactly. You're in control. More syrup, less syrup, or more sparkling water, less sparkling water, or no sparkling water. Let's use champagne.
Yep. Yes. Or beer.
Let's do that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It works a lot. It works really well with beer.
I was in the Newark airport a month ago going to Portland, and the bartender, I ordered a gin and tonic from, first of all, let's talk about this. All the bars and restaurants in the Newark airport, you don't order, you don't actually talk to like a server.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Or a bartender. They have iPads.
iPads, yeah.
It's so shitty. But I
that's the United Wing. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, it's the worst. Yeah.
Thanks, Jason Luttrell.
Oh! Hey, man, at least you can get a decent cocktail now in the those things. But whatever.
Well, after what I'm about to tell you.
So never mind.
I ordered a gin and tonic from the robot, and the bartender comes over. At this point, I've been in the airport for 8 hours, just delay after delay after delay. And I'm hanging out, having a gin and tonic. It's kind of like my go-to drink in an airport or on a plane. And this is the first time that, like, a bartender actually talked to me. He makes a drink, comes over, and he's like, don't worry, man, I hooked you up. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I threw a shot of vodka in there for you.
Thanks. Oh, God. Yeah, perfect. Oh, my God.
Thanks,
no.
Bro.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, so you...
You watered down my gin?
Yeah, you watered down my gin, man. Fuck. And then, like, I ordered another one, and I was like, that's like, you know, thanks a lot, you know, for the
hookup.
The hookup, air quotes. But can you just do just a regular gin and tonic? It's like, I kind of want to have a few of these before I eventually get on my flight, if it ever even happens.
Right.
And he kind of, like, got offended by that. I'm like, dude, you know what? Actually, from now on, you can just put half the gin that you would normally put in and give me more tonic. Yeah. I know. It's such a weird, simple... It's the simple things that people fuck up the most, right?
Yep. Of course.
Yep.
Oh, we all agree about that, I think.
Yep.
How are things going at Attaboy? I don't get there. I live just a few blocks away.
Yeah, I really haven't been behind the stick in Attaboy in quite a while, just because I kind of driving the thing at Irving, and it's like, you know, they'll call me to do something, I'm working or whatever. So, you know, I just adore those guys, and I feel so honored to have been working there for a while. But things are—it's great over there. They're just getting ready to open a new bar.
Nashville, right?
Dan Greenbaum is actually opening a thing. He was the bar manager at the Beagle, where he and I got to be very good friends. And then he was working at. He still works at Attaboy, but he's opening Diamond Reef out in Crown Heights with the help of Sammy and Mickey. It's going to be really, really, really awesome. Looking forward to going there and, I don't know, maybe pick up a shift there once in a while.
Cool.
What?
Yeah, I don't think you work enough. You need to get more shifts. Speaking of shifts, when are you, what's your regular rotation at the Irving then?
My regular rotation at Irving is Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, and Sunday nights.
Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday.
Yeah. This Sunday is Speed Rack. I'm working Speed Rack, so I'm not going to be there this Sunday. But
oh, fuck. I forgot about Speed Rack.
I know, right?
Speed Rack. Go. It's a great cause. Great time. What fun.
What are you doing for them?
Usually,
I attend every year, but...
Yeah, usually I'm a judge wrangler. So I'm on stage, you know, attending to the judges that are there or giving them the time cards that they have to hold up and all that kind of stuff. So work pretty closely with them.
What's the venue this year?
Yeah. I've got to look that up. It's somewhere Midtown, which is new because it was in Brooklyn last couple of years. But go to Speed Rack on Facebook. You'll find it right away.
Okay. Was that like Music Hall of Williamsburg?
It was at Music Hall of Williamsburg, yeah. But now it's... you caught me.
Sorry.
That's all right, man.
I wasn't trying to throw out a gotcha moment.
You got me.
Gotcha journalism. That's what we're known for. that's rad. I kind of forgot about it because I was away on vacation. But now that I'm back, I have to focus because we actually moved 2 weeks' notice from this Sunday till the next Sunday because we all want to go and support Speed Rack.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah. Good.
And we'll see you there up on stage and all that jazz. That'll be great. I usually just go and throw a bunch of money around. It's a charity. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Oh, totally.
Like, just go. Do it. It's a good thing. What, are you looking it up right now?
I am.
Nerd.
It is at... Speed Rack this year is at Sunday, December 11th at the Diamond Horseshoe.
Diamond Horseshoe.
235 West 46th Street, and it's 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday.
The Diamond Horseshoe? Never
the Diamond Horseshoe. Yeah, I don't know anything about it. And you can buy your tickets at Speed Rack. It looks like it's Speed Racks 6 NY at eventbrite.com.
Cool.
Cool.
Nice plug.
Yeah. I love Ivy and Lynette. They're the best. They are the best. Yeah, no two kidding. Women who set it up. So they're just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Where do we go to pregame in Midtown?
I don't know. Just bring a flask.
Yeah, at 3 o'clock on a Sunday. Yeah, where would you go? Sons and Daughters, maybe. That's close enough.
Ooh, haven't been yet.
Great. Yeah. Great place. And they're open for brunch on Sunday. So, yeah. That's Aaron Reese's new place.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Rad.
It's over by Del Posto.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Del Posto, like that zone up to 46. Well, we're going to have to figure out a couple of places to stop in between, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll make a trail.
I'll have a trail of woe
on the way.
Porchlight.
Abby.
Mm-hmm.
Young Mr. Bennett.
We can just cruise up the goddamn High Line.
Yeah, man.
Until we get there, man.
Saunter. We'll work our way up there.
Yeah, we'll saunter.
Talk about Dear Irving a little bit. I've only been there a couple times, but it's beautiful.
Yep.
Talk about that weird decor in there.
Yeah, so it's the same designer for all of the company, and all of the company is the two Raines Law Rooms. There's the original on 17th Street, and then there's a new one at the Williams Hotel on 39th Street.
Right.
And then also we have a new property called The Bennett, yep, which is on West Broadway in Tribeca, and then we have Irving. And the designer does beautiful work, and I'll tell you, you know, all of us being bar folk, when you have a really beautifully designed bar, usually it's unusable.
Yeah.
And this one is really, really usable. So it's like Megan Dorman is part of this whole thing, and she really knows her shit, so she made sure that it was designed to be usable. So when you're coming into Irving, it's a long shotgun New York space. It's in the old Sal Anthony's spot that was closed for 7 or 8 years before we went in, and you enter through the 1950s, the John F. Kennedy era. The next room you go into is 1920s with F. Scott Fitzgerald and the Roaring Twenties kind of thing. Then halfway, the bar splits into turn of the century, Abraham Lincoln type of thing, the Victorian. And then you go through doors in the back to the fourth room, which is the Marie Antoinette room, which is like French Revolution. So it's just opulent. It's beautiful.
With crazy mirrors.
Crazy mirrors. And make sure you look at the wallpaper because there's people fucking on the wallpaper. Yep. And it's very well disguised that you don't. You're just like, oh, pretty wallpaper. But whoa.
I actually saw a boner.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, it's really cool to be in there. You're traveling backwards through time. Yeah, it's deeper into the place you go.
Exactly. It's the whole Midnight in Paris kind of thing, the Woody Allen movie. So as you're going in, you're going back in time. So it's really clever. It's beautiful. And, you know, with short attention span, if you want to go to another bar, you just move 20 feet and you're in another bar pretty much.
Yeah.
You know.
It's really fun, man.
Taking care of the millennials.
I got to step back there. Maybe it was last year, last winter. What's cool about this space is there are so many events that you can do.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, rather than renting out a venue, it's like you can like have multiple vendors set up in all the different rooms, and it just flows really beautifully.
Yeah.
And there was an event. Tanya Guffey and I were doing something there one time. I think it was last winter. And then we got to jump behind the bar a little bit. Dude, it was so cool, man.
Good.
I love the perfectly symmetrical layout of that bar.
Yeah.
It's two different time periods.
Yeah. But
there's a doorway that goes through the back and then it splits off to the two. It's just really cool.
Yeah.
Really
well
thought out.
It's really pretty.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. I think it's one of the more beautiful bars in New York.
Yeah.
And very, like, it's very welcoming as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you get there, someone to take your code and like all that rigmarole. I don't know. It's a nice place. I'm envious of your working there.
Thanks. I love it.
I work in a shoebox.
You got a great little spot, though, man. That's a cool, cool place.
Eh, You know, it's a grass always greener thing. Yeah, you know? I'm in that room all the time. I'm over it. I mean, I love it. I'm going back there today. First day back from vacation.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
So 32 years, man. That's incredible.
Yeah. Wild. This whole cocktail scene didn't exist when I started bartending. This started with Sasha in 99 and Mokanani. So before that, I was bartending.
I'm 35 years old.
Wow. You were like 2 when I started.
That's amazing.
Shit.
That's amazing.
That's a real mind blower right there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you started in...
I feel 3 times as old if it makes it any better.
Yeah, we all do. So you started up there, and then you came straight to New York? There were some
no, I lived all over the country. I like I said, I used to be an actor, so I was kind of following that thing around. And for some reason, I don't know why, I moved to Kansas City for a show. And then I moved from Kansas City to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Just because I wanted to live in Santa Fe. And for the first month, I lived in my pickup truck. I didn't have an apartment yet. And I was working as a singing waiter. And then I moved to San Francisco.
Singing waiter?
Santa Fe?
Yeah, in Santa Fe.
How the hell? Like, I need to know.
I know, random and weird, right? And then I moved to San Francisco and kind of got my start in the whole fresh cocktail thing at Zuni Cafe, which is an iconic place.
I always forget you worked at Zuni. That's amazing.
Zuni was amazing. I was there in 87 through 89. And we were using those Mexican lime presses. You know that little thing that you can now get at Williams-Sonoma that you just flip over and you like basically flip a lime inside out or a lemon inside out? Those did not exist on this coast until Alex Miranda, who was my bar back at Zuni and later became a bartender and is now one of the main salesmen at Bowler Wines. He came here first, and then I came here right after he did, and we kind of brought those things here from the Mission in San Francisco. We used those at Zuni. We would make – the Zuni margarita is like the most iconic margarita, I think. You would just take half a lime and squeeze it right into the drink. You didn't do – you know, it was beautiful. It was as fresh as you could get it, you know. So that whole thing started my whole journey down this. Now I'll still be an actor, and I moved to Chicago for a while, and I lived in Louisville for a while, and then I came to New York and worked on Broadway and did a New York national tour and a bunch of off-Broadway stuff. I had a little tiny reoccurring thing on a couple of soaps, and I've been in a couple of films. Lots of voiceovers and commercials and shit like that. And God, that's a stupid business. Oh, my God. And now I'm just doing this, and I'm really loving it.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
This business is no less stupid.
Well, you have a little more control, man. It's like you're not the pawn at the end of the chessboard like you are as an actor. You know, it's like actors are – it's just awful because, you know, you get all this accolades, but in the whole – chain of command, you are the last person and you have to answer to a bunch of idiots most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks when you have higher artistic integrity than everybody above you, and I couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
You know, at least this, I can apply my high artistic integrity when I'm working every night.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And it's a gratification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It is exactly the same as theater. It pushes all those right buttons for me without the shitty ones.
Yeah. Well, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Glad to see you landed on your feet.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
You're going to be great, kid.
Thanks.
Stick with it.
Thanks, sir.
You're a natural kid.
Are you working tonight?
I'm going in for a private event tonight. We have a buyout, so I am working for a few hours tonight.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So don't bother coming to Irving tonight. You're not going to get in until after 10:30. Yeah. Maybe.
I'm not as young.
Maybe.
I got to work. I'll be at work till 1. What time do you guys close, actually?
Maybe I'll come over and see you after work.
All right.
I'll try it. I'll see how late it is. I got to catch a train.
Yeah.
Jersey living.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't do very much hitchhiking with that thumb anymore.
No.
Oh, too soon.
My cute little thumb.
Oh, it's adorable. It's smooth looking. It's rounded.
Too
soon.
Yeah,
there's no thumbnail to scratch you anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, gross.
Speaking of, are you still making muddlers and selling them?
Or? Oh, fuck yeah, man. No, I don't sell them. I give them as gifts.
Oh, cool.
So I have cherry ones, and I've got some from...
I want the one you were making when this happened.
Oh, no, no, I'm keeping that one. I've got ones from the oak tree. We had an oak tree that fell down in our yard when Sandy came through, and I still have a bunch from that one, and, you know, so it's like, yeah, I still make them.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get back on the horse. You can't, you know.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
If everybody who cut themselves with a saw one time didn't use a saw anymore, we'd have nothing.
Correct.
Yeah. What you said.
And you made it this far, you know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, come on.
You've only lost a quarter of a thumb in 55 years. That's pretty good.
I'll figure it out. Oh!
Sound effects.
He's got
today.
The sound effects down today. Sweet.
You got a Foley artist in there? Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Man, this has been great.
Yeah, man.
The gin and tonics are great.
This is so delicious. I already drank all mine.
Always great talking with you, and I'm glad we had you in the studio today.
Yeah,
it's been
me
a
too.
Lot of fun, man.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we will get over to see you. What'd you say? Tuesday, Thursday?
Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday.
Sunday.
Sundays are great, more industry-driven. It's busy all the time, but Sundays are just a little less nutty.
So. Yeah. Get to hang out and engage with...
A little bit, yeah.
Tom R.
Yep.
And then, of course, pick up the Tom R's tonic syrup everywhere. I always say Tom R's, but it's Tomer's, isn't it?
It's Tomer. Yeah, everybody... And then I have people go, it's Tomer's. I'm like, no, it's... I'm Tomer, so it's called Tomer's. But...
Whatever. It's soon to be an icon. It's globally available product.
Yay!
That's amazing. I'm really interested in talking to you off air about the other thing.
Great.
About your incubator and
yeah.
bottle and wine.
Can't wait.
Sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see that happen.
Me too.
Let's see. Next week, tentatively, Ann Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Yay,
everybody
Annie.
Loves Ann Robinson. She's
Love
doing that
Annie.
New thing over at the, what's it called? The Vail Hotel? William Vail? Mm-hmm. Is that it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So want to get her in here and chat about what she's got going on. Maybe try and talk her into going over and hanging out at Grand Army afterwards and doing a little happy hour.
Yeah.
She's supposed to answer me today, but she didn't get back to me before the show. So.
Wait, are we going to Grand Army today? Is that what we're doing?
If you want.
If you want to.
3:30. Yeah, I have to be there at 5.
Perfect.
No, bad idea.
Sounds like a great idea to me. So anyway, yeah, great to have you on. Looking forward to maybe having Ann on next week. If you're interested, I'm going to throw a plug for myself out real fast. 2 weeks notice has gone live at Amore Margo, meaning we do a 3-cocktail paired with snacks made by me, prefix, once a month. It's called 2 weeks notice. This one's on the 18th. It's always on a Sunday. You can reach out to me via Creative Drunk on all media and get some tickets to that. It's real fun. Get to watch me cook. And, yeah, I guess that's all we've got for this week.
Yeah. I great. Think, yeah, sounds great. All right.
Well, this was great, guys. Thanks
Tom,
so much.
Thanks so much. Great to see you.
My pleasure.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for making the tasty drinks.
Yay.
All right. That's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out heritageradionetwork.org for many, many, many more programs like this one. Until then, cheers, guys.
Cheers. Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's going to save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's going to get you so.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Jordan Silbert, founder and CEO of Q Drinks, and we're proud to support the Speakeasy. At Q Drinks, we make spectacular carbonated mixers crafted to perfectly complement your favorite spirits. Based in Brooklyn, we're available nationally in 6 flavors, including Q Tonic Water for spectacular gin and tonics, and Q Ginger Beer for spectacular Moscow Mules. Typical carbonated mixers are made with unpronounceable ingredients by multinational corporations Sweeten beyond recognition with high fructose corn syrup and add absolutely nothing to the drinking experience. Here at Q Drinks, we're the complete opposite. Crafted with real ingredients, carefully sourced from around the world, Q Drinks are more flavorful, less sweet, and have much more carbonation than you'll find in other mixers. The result of this fanatical attention to detail is clean, crisp, spectacular beverages that bring out the best in your favorite spirits. Using Q Drinks, it's easy to create delicious, sophisticated cocktails with just two pours. 1 to 2 ounces of your favorite spirit, 3 to 4 ounces of Q, poured over ice in a highball glass. Simple, spectacular. Q Drinks, make your drink spectacular.